Morning, church. Those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Jack. I've been here for just about 10 months. It was a year ago that I came all the way from Canada to this fair country of yours to explore the possibility of maybe covenanting with the churches here in Australia to talk a little bit more about what it really means to be used of God to make an impact in our communities. And God led us to come here, and it's such a joy for us to be part of this church here in Bray Park. And we've been living here for about 10 months. Let me just tell you, I've traveled the last 10 months about 80,000 kilometers all across Australia, visited probably all the Reformed churches that I'll be working with, about 92% of them at this point. And let me just say, you know, as I've been just going around to the various churches and just meeting with all the different people, pastors, church leaders, sessions, I've preached at a number of these churches. We can be so grateful to God for what He's doing, not all across Australia, but I just want to just say right here, you know, we are so blessed to be part of this church. And my wife and I, Jeannie and I, we're just so blessed to be part of this body of Christ here. And that was just underscored for me last week, Sunday night. I preached somewhere else Sunday morning, but last Sunday night we came into the service, and I was just so blessed by the preaching, by the worship, to see a young man come up front here and to give public testimony of his faith in such a powerful way. And I don't get that too often, although Jeannie might say I'm a little sappy once in a while, but I was moved to tears just to experience God working in and through this church. And we can just be so blessed to be part of this church, and we are, and we just need to recognize that. I just want you to know that, because, you know, so often, sometimes I think we take for granted, you know, just we get up Sunday morning, we go to church, or we get up Sunday night, and, you know, and we just make our way here. We just go through the routines, but it is such a gift, such a privilege to be part of what God is doing. This morning, I want to begin by talking about Edward Kimball. How many of you know Edward Kimball? Well, this probably why, as he lived a little bit longer than some of you have. This goes back into the 1800s. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. And Edward had this passion. And his passion was to just make a difference in the lives of his students. And I can just think of some of these Sunday school teachers who just, you know, take the DMMs and the younger kids and they go out and do their different things with them. But Edwards was one of those guys. And what he had this passion just to make a difference in the lives of kids. And there was especially one young man that he had a special interest in. This was a guy that came from the outback, from the bush. He was a farmer, and he moved into the city, and he started working as a shoe salesman in the local shoe shop. And this is what Edward Kimball said of this guy. He said, "This man, I've seen few persons whose minds were spiritually darker when he came to my Sunday school class, or one who seemed more unlikely ever to become a Christian of clear, decided views, still less to fill any sphere of extended public usefulness." I mean, we just sang that wonderful chorus, you know, "Lord, if you can use me, I mean, I just want to be used by you. If you can just think you can use me and just fill me now." And Edward looked at this young guy and he said, "You know, this is one guy's just a loser. He's just not going to make it anywhere." But one day Edward decided that he was going to go down to that little shoe shop and to talk to this young man. And he pulled him aside and he went to the back room. And in the back room, Edward shared with this young man the gospel. He told him the story of how God's Son, Jesus Christ, came into this world and died on a cross. And there on that cross, He paid for the sin of humanity and even for this young man's sin. And He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He's coming back again. And that little conversation that Edward had with this young man changed this young man's life. And he knelt down there in that little shoe shop in that back room, and he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. This man's name was Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody's life was changed because of that. In fact, Dwight L. Moody says, as when he got up, he said, "I was in a brand new world." He said, "The birds sang sweeter, the sun shone brighter. I have never known such peace in my life. But just notice the multiplication chain of events that took place. Here you have this Sunday school teacher, Edward Kimball, who has a passion to pass on the message to young kids, and which he did to Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody became a well-known evangelist that went all across the world, in North America and into Europe, and he preached to millions of people, giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. In one of those crusades, there was a young preacher by the name of F.B. Meyer who was sensing God's call in his life to join Dwight L. Moody to become an evangelist. And F.B. Meyer started to work at the local universities and started speaking to young students the claims of the gospel. And one of his times, he had an opportunity to share the gospel with a young student by the name of Wilbur Chapman. Wilbur Chapman got so excited about Jesus Christ, surrendering his life to him, that he started reaching out in YMCA and just started having all of these camp meetings and just trying to tell other people about the gospel. So much so that Wilbur Chapman one day decided that he was going to invite Billy Sunday to come to Charlotte, North Carolina, and to hold evangelistic crusades, have an opportunity to present the gospel to a wide spectrum of people. And it was so successful that a bunch of young business leaders got together and said, you know, this whole week of these crusades have been phenomenal. Let's have another week of crusades. And so they invited a guy by the name of Mordecai Ham to come in and to speak again to students and to young people and lay the claims of the gospel before them. At that time, in that group, among a number of other young teenagers that listened to the gospel, was a man by the name of Billy Graham. How many of you have heard of Billy Graham? You know, only heaven would be able to reveal the actual number of people whose lives have been changed because of Edward Kimball. A dedicated Sunday school teacher who just had such a deep desire to reach young kids with the gospel. Maybe because of Edward Kimball, you're here today. Not because of Edward, but because along the way, someone came to embrace the claims of Christ because they heard the gospel spoken to them. You know, Christ calls all of us to be involved in this task, to bring the gospel to the nations. Jesus said these words, "Go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then you got to teach them everything that I've commanded you. You just got to pass on what I've passed on to you." Now imagine what would happen if all of us would put this into practice. That each one of us would in turn reach one other person for Christ. We're talking about spiritual reproduction. We're talking about bearing fruit. We're talking about winning people to Christ, to the gospel, discipling them in the faith. It's something like this. If you think about the common housefly, if you had a pair of houseflies and if you would just leave those houseflies to multiply, in one summer, there would be enough houseflies to cover all of the country of Germany to a height of 10 meters. Now think of that every time you swat a housefly. Or think of, you know, dogs and cats. If you would just take one unspayed female dog, and you just allow her to multiply, her and her descendants in just 7 generations will produce 4,372 puppies. Or one unspayed cat and her offspring can produce 80 million kittens in 10 years. I see there's a little cat ready to be adopted in the bulletin. Now apply that to spiritual multiplication. Not houseflies, not dogs and cats, but human beings, men, women, and children who need to hear the gospel. Just think of that, what would happen. If you and I would actually engage in that kind of work, where you and I would just, you know, not be a Billy Graham to be involved in huge crusades, but you and I would just be serious about just reaching one other person for Christ. Billy Graham said, if every believer followed this pattern, the church would reach the entire world within the gospel in one generation. In 30 years, we can reach the entire world. Mass crusades will never finish the Great Commission, but if you and I are involved in that one by one ministry, it will do it. Just think of that. Each one, reach one. You and I, each one of us, just being committed to spread the gospel to one other person and to lead them to a living relationship with Jesus Christ. And allowing that to become a chain of multiplication that will be multiplied in their lives and the lives of their spiritual children. I mean, we have about 200 to 300 professing or believing adults in this church. Now just imagine if over the course of this next year, each of those us, I'm including myself, 300 of us, would just reach one other person for Christ. And allow them to come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ and join us on that wonderful adventure of being part of what God is doing, not only here, but throughout the world. And if that was done not only this year, but every year, what an impact that would make for the gospel. Well, that's the challenge I want us to think about today. This challenge that you and I would just reach in the next year, just one other person for Christ. Something you and I can start today. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. How in the world can I actually get involved in that? What does it take? Well, let me just share with you a passage that Paul gives to us in 2 Timothy. This is what he writes. Listen to what he says. He says, Timothy, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, you've often heard me teach. Now, I want you to tell these same things to followers who can be trusted then to tell others. Now, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, you must endure your share of suffering. I mean, soldiers on duty don't work outside jobs. They try only to please their commanding officer. Now, no one wins an athletic contest without obeying the rules. And farmers, I mean, if they work hard, they're the first who will eat what grows in their field. Now, reflect on what I'm saying to you, and God will give you insight into all of this. And my friends, that's what I want you and I to do today. Just to reflect on this with me. Just give it a few moments of your serious thought. Just reflect on what Paul writes in these few verses. And I trust that as you do that, that God will give you insight what that might mean for you today. Let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, because you are the rock upon which we want to build our lives, that solid foundation. Hear our prayers in Christ. Amen. I want you to notice how Paul begins. He begins by saying, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Do we have it on? There we go. That's where it starts. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now that's the foundation. That's where it all begins in fulfilling the Great Commission to make disciples. I mean, you and I must be dominated by God's grace. I mean, there's never an opportunity where you can share if you don't have anything. I mean, if you have no money, I mean, how can you ever give it to somebody else? If you don't have a home, how can you ever open it up to somebody else? If you don't have God's grace in your own heart and in your own life and understand what that is all about, then you have absolutely nothing to share. And so first of all, you got to be dominated by the grace. That is God's grace that comes into your own life. We can't do anything on our own. That's what Peter also writes. He says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God might be praised through Jesus Christ. I mean, the good news that you share with other people comes out of the wellspring of life that is inside of you. I mean, you can't share what you ain't got. That's where it all begins. It begins with that grace of God in your own life. Well, how do you get it? How do you get that grace? Well, the Bible tells us it starts by prayer. Just simply praying. In the book of Hebrews, we have these wonderful words, and it says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." It all begins with prayer. You know, when you come before God in prayer, then what happens is God starts to fill you, just like you made that prayer this morning. You say, "Holy Spirit of God, just fill me, just use me, just pour yourself inside of me." And when you do that, what happens is you start to receive God's grace, you start to receive His mercy, you find it. God knows what you need. God knows what the assistance that you need. He knows the strength that you need. And then as He fills you, He's able to help you in your time of need. It begins with prayer. It is developed by a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, Peter writes this. He says, "Grace and peace to you in abundance through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ." See, if you and I are ever going to start sharing our faith with other people, we've got to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. We got to get to know God. We need to know God. We have to have that personal walk with God. And when you talk to God in prayer and you open up Scripture so that you allow God to talk through you, in you, and through you, when you participate in Bible studies and when you gather together with God's people in church and in worship, and you come into God's presence, then God starts to pour His grace into your life. A relationship with Jesus Christ. Another source that the Bible tells us is humility. You know, if we humble ourselves before God, the Bible says, "Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." I mean, if you and I have had that attitude, you're saying, you know, we know it all. I'm better than you, and I'm better than them especially. You know, we'll never be used by God. But if we have this attitude by saying, "You know what, God, I know that by myself I'm only going to get there to the other side because of what You've done for me in Christ. And Jesus, I know that, you know, if I go to lost people in this world and I start sharing the gospel with them, I know I'm just going to be bumbling all over my words and I won't know what to say. But God, I just want to be used by You." And you just humble yourself before God and you say, "God, I want to just be Your servant. I want to be used by You." And God pours His grace into your life. Each one, reach one. It begins with you and I being, you know, just dominated by God's grace. Just understanding what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. But Paul continues. He says, not only you need to be dominated by Christ's grace, but you need to be dedicated to the ministry of multiplying disciples. Paul put it this way. Just look at verse 2. We're going to get it. Have the next slide. Well, Paul says it this way in verse 2. He says, "The things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others." I wanted you to read it in this translation. Paul says, "You've often heard me teach. Now I want you to tell these same things to be followers who also can be trusted to tell others." I mean, that's what Edward Kimball did. I mean, God had poured His grace into his life. He was full of it, and he understood what God was all about, and then he started to share it with other people. That's all he did. That's what the Apostle Paul did. If you look at his own life. I mean, Paul, if you know the story of the Bible, is that initially Paul was discipled in the faith by a man by the name of Barnabas. And Barnabas shared with Paul all the things that were, you know, important to understand about Jesus Christ. And Paul grew in that, and Paul didn't just keep it to himself, but he started passing it on to others. And there was people like Timothy and Silas, and he started to share everything that he had learned and pass it on to them. And then after that, Silas and Timothy, they went on to churches and to individuals, and they started passing on the gospel to many other people. And that's what Paul is saying here to Timothy. Timothy, I want you to be a channel. As I have taught you and I have passed on things to you, now I want you now to be a funnel and to channel that now to other people. It begins, Timothy, by you winning a person to Jesus Christ, but then you take that person and you just pass on to them everything that you have learned. Now, my friends, that's not an option in our lives. This is not a wish list that God gives to us in Scripture. This is something that Christ commands us to do. As Paul says to Timothy, he says, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to entrust. The word entrust there is imperative. We must pass on what we have received and pass it on to others to make disciples of all nations. Pass it on to them. Now, for some of you who are here this morning, you say, well, you know, that's kind of tough. I mean, that scares the living daylights out of me. I mean, how in the world, you know, can I just, you know, start going up to irreligious people or lost people and start sharing with them the gospel? But, you know, Christ is not calling you and I to be like a Billy Graham and stand up in front of huge crowds of people. You know, God's not calling us to maybe stand up like Wilbur Chapman to go in front of, a group of college students or to set up an evangelistic crusade. No, all that Christ calls you and I to be involved in is that one-by-one ministry. It's like spiritual reproduction. Just like physical reproduction, we have a spiritual child that we just birth into the faith and then we grow them up in the faith. I just came back from Namibia where we spent a little bit of time with my daughter. And when we were there, I met this young couple. And they came up to me and they introduced themselves to me. And I said, well, what are you doing? Because I noticed that this young man was just clutching his Bible. You know, this is just a very young couple. It was about 6 months ago that they lost a baby, 6 months old. Just a little child, their first child. And they're, you know, here they're living in squalid conditions in the midst of disease and poverty. And as I was talking to this young couple, I said, well, what do you do? He says, you know, I'm the pastor of this community. I said, what do you mean you're the pastor of this community? He says, well, you know, someone taught me about Jesus Christ. And he says, and now I just go door to door in my community and I just pass on what I have learned. And I said, here's a fellow that doesn't have any theological training, you know, never went to Bible college, never has been part of a church. All he has is the Bible. I said, so what do? He says, you know, all I do is I go into a house and I say to people, I says, do you know how to pray? And if they don't know how to pray, he says, I teach them how to pray. I just teach them how to talk to God. I just tell them what I do. I said, do you know how to read your Bible? And then, no, I don't know how to read your Bible. I says, well, then he says, I sit down with them and I open up the Bible and I read portions of the Bible to them and I start sharing them the stuff that I've learned. He says, but you know what? He says, I know so little. He says, when you go back to Australia, he says, can you tell me how to be a pastor? Can you send me some stuff? He says, but I don't know what I'm doing. God bless this young man. And there he is in the midst of this very sad situation in life. And there he is passing on the gospel to people. In my former congregation, I was meeting with an elderly gentleman. And, you know, he's past retirement a number of years. He's in his late 70s. And he was telling me this story about how this couple across the road just moved in. And this is a couple that came from China. And I said to him, I says, you know, have you had an opportunity to talk with these people about the gospel? And I knew Ralph. I mean, Ralph was just this quiet man who just hardly ever talks. And I served with him on session. And I just knew. But I just thought, I wonder if he ever had an opportunity to open up. And he says, you know what I did? I said, what did you do? I said, I just went over to those people and I said, hey, do you got a Bible? And they said, no. He said, well, here's a Bible. And they said, well, what do we do with this book? And they said, well, you know what you do? There's a book in the Bible, the gospel, is a book called John. You can remember that. Just start reading John. And I'm going to come back in a couple weeks, and I'm going to ask you if you understood this. And if you haven't understood it, then I'll explain it to you. And I thought, wow. You know, here he is. He's got lots of time on his hand. And there he is walking across the street, just giving a Bible and saying, you know what? I'll just explain to you what you've just been reading. If you don't understand anything, I'll explain it to you. And maybe you still, this morning, you feel a little uncomfortable. And maybe it's not just the pew, even though they're padded, but you know, you get a little bit uncomfortable when you think, well, you know, do you mean that I need to become like that couple that came to my door yesterday afternoon? You know, they knock on the door and they say, hey, you want to read this tract? Maybe you feel a little uncomfortable. How in the world can I start meeting up with my mates and the guys at school or uni or other places, you know, that I talk with, and they're lost, and I know they're on a journey that's going to hell, but I just know how to. Well, if you don't know how to do it, learn. You know, Peter put it this way. He says, always prepare to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the hope that is in you. I mean, that's all that God requires of you. Just get ready. Just get ready for those times when your next door neighbor or that person at work or that family member comes up to you and says, you know what? What is it about you? What is it about church? And what is it about Bible? Can you just be prepared to give an answer of the hope that is in you? Be dominated by God's grace, but then be dedicated to this ministry. If you don't know how to do it, then just learn. Just give yourself to it. But there's a third spiritual quality, and Paul talks about discipline, how important it is for you and I to be disciplined. He says, you know, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, you must endure your share of suffering. Soldiers on duty, I mean, they don't work on outside jobs. No, they're dedicated to please their commanding officer. And I know, and you know, that it's not easy, you know, to actually get involved in, you know, spiritually reproduce your Christ life in the lives of others. It's tough work. It's tough building those relationships. It's tough, you know, even going, walking across the room and maybe meeting that person for the very first time and just starting having a spiritual conversation with them. But Paul reminds us, you know, that a good soldier, you know, doesn't work at an outside job, but has got one concern, and that is, what am I going to do that's going to please my commanding officer? And you and I as believers, we keep asking ourselves the question, what is the one thing that is going to please my Heavenly Father? As you think of this week that is coming up in front of you and you say, what is that one thing that is going to please my Heavenly Father? And you know what causes rejoicing in heaven among the angels and among our triune God. And that is when lost people walk over that great chasm of sin and are welcomed into God's family. Nothing pleases God more than when people come into that living relationship with Him. God desires that no one perish, but that all people come into that living relationship with His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Three qualities. Three qualities that you and I ought to have. And when those three qualities are part of our lives, when we're dominated by God's grace, when we understand what that is all about, when we're dedicated, you know, to the ministry of multiplying disciples, and we're just going to do whatever it takes, and even when the going gets tough, we're going to be disciplined enough to stick with it. Just imagine what can happen. Just imagine. If you would just take what you know and you would pass it on to one other person, or maybe two other people, or maybe three other people, and they in turn do the same thing. Remember the house flies. Remember the cats. Remember the dogs. We're talking about spiritual multiplication. We have 19 plus million people in Australia that are on a pathway that's not leading to eternity. But they're leading to an eternity in hell, away from God. And just imagine what would happen if you and I, as believers, and we seriously take this challenge, and each person would just reach one other person, and they in turn Paul reminds Timothy, he says, you know, if we get involved in that, we're going to start winning. We're going to start winning. When we pass it on to the next generation, you know, Paul says, he says, no one wins an athletic contest unless he competes by the rules. And what Paul is just saying is, you know, if we compete by the rules and we get involved in this kind of work and we start passing on this stuff, guess what? We're going to get across the finish line and we're going to be winning. It might be difficult at times, but we compete by the rules. And when we do that, we're going to win. And then he gives his illustration from agriculture. He says, farmers who work hard, you know, they're the first ones who eat what grows in the field. And you can think of this farmer, you know, growing this little plot, you know, of whatever he is. And he's growing that, and he's the first one that eats. And you know, when you and I, when we get into this great harvest field, you know, we sang earlier, these are the days of Elijah, you know, the fields are as white as snow. I mean, it is as white as wool. And the fields are white for the harvest. And if you and I go out there, guess what? We're going to see those people come to the faith. There you have it. Something to think about. That's all I want you to do. Each one, reach one other person. Just think of that in your own life, who that one person might be. That one person that you know is not tracking with God, but away from God. And you want to twist them around. My wife and I, since we've come here to Australia, we've made it our prayer to start reaching these kinds of people for Christ. And we have started to develop relationships with a number of these people. And we start seeing God already allowing us to be used just to make a little difference in some people's lives. And God can do that with you too. Build a relationship. Think of that one person. Be dedicated to that task as you're dominated by God's grace. Be disciplined to see many people come into that walk. All I want you to do, just think about it. What is God asking you to do this week? Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for what you have done in our hearts and our lives. We're here today. Maybe because years ago there was this Sunday school teacher who just made an impact on our hearts and our lives. Or maybe there was this television evangelist who came around and just broadcast the gospel and we came to that living knowledge of Jesus Christ. Or there was a godly mother who was on her knees who prayed for us. And we're here today because somebody prayed and somebody was dedicated to telling us about Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father God, that each one of us, in turn, will spiritually reproduce the life of Christ in the lives of others. Lord, impress that on our hearts and our lives so that each one of us may reach one other person for Christ this year. Hear our prayers as we offer them in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.